welcome to this podcast message from Kingdom Faith.
Deliver me from death, literally save me when I was dying. And that also was an amazing, it's not my time to give that story this morning, but an amazing story of God's faithfulness, of my own personal faith in him and what he had said, but also of a whole group of other people that were a part of the church that we were a part of at that time. And their faith and their prayers and mine together got me totally healed. So I'm standing here before you today by a miracle of faith. Faith works exactly opposite to how the world thinks, to natural thinking. Faith comes by hearing what God says about something, which is usually totally different than what you think, totally different than what you had imagined. God always works to his own agendas, not to ours. And he's a God of great surprises. And things always work out better than how you'd planned. God always works things out better than how you thought and how you planned, because he's the God of miracles. And I'm talking this morning about the subject today is kingdom relationships. That's the subject. And just, I'm going to break this into two parts. The first part, we're going to briefly look at Matthew's Gospel 24, because that's what we're going through at the moment as a church. We're actually studying the book of Matthew, and in various groups that happen in the daytime and the evenings, we're looking at the Gospel of Matthew chapter by chapter. It's been a very, very good time to do that. And for those of you that have been taking part in this, you will find that God has really been speaking to you, has he not? Been speaking to Anita and a few others. Hopefully he's been speaking to everybody. And if you're not a part of a group, then you should be reading Matthew anyway. We're in Matthew 24 this week. Read it through and meditate. That means to chew it over, keep reading about it and pray and let God speak to you out of this chapter, and it will draw you closer to Jesus. And we're just going to read at verse 3. It says, later when he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples approached him privately and said, please tell us when these things will take place and what signs should we look for that will indicate you are about to come again and that this age is about to end. You know, Jesus is coming back. That's not a fairy story. It's not something that may happen. It will happen. He said, as he went, then he left the Mount of Olives, he said, I'll come back again. So that means physically, he'll come back as he went. It's very clear. It says that in the scriptures. He'll come back. And many of us believe that Jesus is going to come back soon. Don't ask me for a date, because I don't have a date or a time. If you ever meet anyone that does, they're wrong. Okay? The Bible says that God won't give anyone dates and times. But he will give us the idea of a season, of a roundabout, the kind of season when Jesus will come back. I wonder what you'd say to him if he came back today. I wonder if he came back this afternoon, what would your reaction be? Just ask the person next to you, what would you say? What would your reaction be if Jesus was to come back this afternoon, which he could do, if he was to come back, what would you say to him? You see, in that moment when Jesus comes back, everything will be as it is. So that means if you're walking with him, well, it will be no surprise. It may be a bit of a surprise that he's come back at that moment, but then he says, I'll come back by surprise, because no man knows exactly the moment when he'll come back. But if you're walking with him in relationship, you won't have to put a load of stuff right. You won't have to think, well, I need to make my life right with this person, that person. I call that person the right old... and, you know, and had all these rotten thoughts about people this week and judge this person, that person, had a row with that person. You won't have to do any of that, because if you're walking in relationship with Jesus, you're dealing with that on a daily basis. If you're walking in good relationships with others, when Jesus comes back, you just say, I want to be with you, Lord. And you'll actually be ready. You'll just step from one position up into a heavenly place with him. And there will no be great shakes. What for most of us will realize, and that's what you thought just now, some of us will be thinking, help. That's very honest. The reason we're saying help is because there's some things that God wants to sort out in our lives, isn't there? Amen. That's to do with your relationship, actually, with him. It has nothing to do with your relationship with others at this moment. It's to do with your relationship with him and your relationship with other people. Jesus wants us to be ready. my friends. He wants us to be ready, that when he comes back, he wants us to be in a ready place, that we may not be the greatest people on earth. We may not have everything sorted out. We may not be this, but we're children of God. Right? We've been washed by the blood of Jesus. We've been forgiven of our sins. And on a daily basis, moment by moment, we're walking with him. Well, if you are walking in that kind of faith, then you can go and be with him. And there won't be anything you have to immediately think, I've got 101 things that need to be sorted out quickly. Let's have a spring clean of my life. Are you with me? Jesus replied, "Be very careful that you allow no one to deceive you. Many will claim to come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ.'" I've met some of them, by the way, and probably you have too. I remember meeting a young man that actually said he was Jesus. He was full of demons, but he actually thought he was Jesus. And it says, don't be deceived by people. There's a book written, God's Final Witness. Have any of you heard of that one? God's Final Witness. It's a book of deception. There's loads of them out there. So don't go and get it. Don't go and read it. It's not worth it. It's just rubbish. But there's lots of people claiming that they are the Christ, that they are Jesus. But it says here, don't be deceived by those who claim they are. You will hear news about wars and potential wars, but be sure not to be alarmed. It is inevitable that such events will take place, but this does not mean the end of time has come. Nations will make war on other nations. Kingdoms will oppose other kingdoms. There will be times of famine, and earthquakes will cause destruction in several places, many places. Yet all such events are only the very beginning of the terrible things that will take place. Listen, don't get too depressed this morning, right? I want you to know that God is very true to his word. He wants us to know some of the things that will be happening just before he comes again. He wants us to know that he is in control. And some of the things that are going off, like the great big oil leak out in Florida, out near Florida, these are signs. There's another scripture that says that there'll be many signs in the heavens and on the earth. And it'll be no surprise that there'll be continuing signs, some of them natural disasters, some man's disasters and wars and earthquakes and so on. These are signs on the earth that time is short. But Jesus is in control. Then my followers will be persecuted, killed and hated simply because they believe in me. Wow. During the testing times ahead, many will deny their faith in me and will betray those they formerly regarded as brothers. Their love will turn to hatred. Now, I know a lot of Christians today, I know some of them, left their first love for Jesus. And today they're nowhere. They're the most miserable people because they've actually tasted of God's love, but they walked away from it. They left their first love. You don't lose your first love. You leave your first love. Does that make sense? And in Revelation, it says that you need to repent if you've left your first love. So we need to come back to that first love for Jesus Christ and be totally devoted and given to him in our relationship with him. It's about relationship this morning. And we need to be totally given in our relationship to him. He wants us to talk to him and listen to him constantly throughout our busy days, busy weeks. He wants us to be in relationship with him. And then we'll be fine. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Wickedness will increase to such an extent that the love of many will grow cold. But he who stands firm in his faith, that's the faith that Anita was talking about this morning. He who stands firm in that kind of faith in God to the very end will be assured of salvation. Despite all this, the gospel of the kingdom, that's the gospel of Jesus, will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations may hear the truth. Only then, only when that has happened, will the end come. So what that's saying is, Jesus is saying here, that this gospel about Jesus Christ, who he is and what he's done and what happened as a result of his death and his resurrection, that gospel, that good news is going to be proclaimed into every nation, but not just every nation, but to every people group on the face of this planet. And once that is done, Jesus said, then I'll come back. Once that's done, then he's going to come back. Now, we still know there are people groups that haven't been reached with the gospel. So in that sense, maybe he can't come back this afternoon. But it says that once every people group, every nation and people group have heard the truth, then Jesus is going to come back. Let's go down to verse 30. Then the sign of the Son of Man, the sign of the Son of Man will be seen in the sky. And every nation on earth will mourn. They will behold the Son of Man coming among the clouds in the sky with power and great glory. This will happen. just as we're reading it today, this will happen. And with the loud sound of the trumpet, he will send his angels to gather all those he has chosen from every direction of the earth and every part of heaven. So something is going to happen. Jesus is going to appear in the sky, and every eye will see him. That's what the Bible says. However that happens, whether it happens through the internet, through your mobile, through your iTunes, or however you view this, but every eye will see him, and there'll be a sign in the sky. He'll literally be seen coming back. And he will choose and call people from every direction of the earth and every part of heaven. So even those who have passed away, have died and gone to be with the Lord in heaven, those that are believers, they'll be gathered back to him. It says here in verse 32, "Now learn an important lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its branches come into bud, you know that summer approaches." And in the Bible, whenever you read about the fig tree in this context, the fig tree represents Israel. So it's what it's saying. It's saying that in the last days, remember Jesus came 2,000 years ago. Here we are 2,000 years later, and in 1940, when was it when Israel was reformed as a nation? 48. 1948, Israel was reformed against all odds, against everything man had said. It was written in the Bible here that the Jewish nation would be scattered and persecuted because they basically rejected Jesus. But in the last days, he would gather back the Jewish people and reform them as a nation. If you know any history at all, you'll know that that's an absolute impossibility for Israel to possibly to be reformed as a nation. But they have, against all odds, because virtually every nation hates the Jews, virtually every nation. Most of the nations have a despising and a hating of the Jewish nation. Not every nation, and not every person either. But it's a fact. And it says, learn an important lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its branches come into bud, you know that summer approaches. In the same way, when you see the events I'm describing, you know that the time is near, as if it was knocking on your door. So what it's saying is that God's going to do a lot of stuff, lots of things are going to happen in a generation of time. Now, biblically, a generation is usually around about 40 years. So it's saying that in a generation of time, around about 40 years, there's going to be an increase of these kind of events that are going to take place, and Jesus will come back in that generation. Now, some of us maybe would be so bold as to say, we believe that Jesus is coming back in our generation, the time that we live in. Others would say, well, we can't be sure about that. But the fact is, he's coming soon, if we can agree upon that. He's coming back very, very soon. And the fact is that when Israel was reformed, the fig tree, the branch began to grow again. Israel was reconnected into her land according to God's covenant promise and reestablished there in Israel. And when that happened, the branch began to grow. And it says when the branches come into bud, and when the branch comes into bud, that's talking about fruitfulness. Israel is beginning to come into bud right now. There's no doubt about that. If you look at what's happening, Israel may have lots of threats and attacks from Iran and all the Arab nations, and eventually it will go that way, but then it says that Jesus will come back exactly at the right moment. Not just for us, but for his people, Israel. I'll just give you a little potted thing here this morning just to encourage you to read the scriptures. In the same way, when you see these events I'm describing you now, know that the time is near as if it was knocking on your door. I tell you the truth, all these things will have taken place before the end of this generation. The heavens and the earth will end, but my words are eternal and will remain forever. No one knows the exact timing of the end of all things, not the angels in heaven, not even the Son. This is known only to the Father. There you are. The second coming of the Son of Man will be as if it was in Noah's time. You remember Noah? Anyone remember Noah? Are you that old? Noah existed, or Noah lived so many thousands of years ago. Was it 4,000, 5,000 years ago? 6,000 years ago? About 6,000 years ago. Any advance on 6,000? So Noah lived a long time ago, and it says that the second coming of the Son of Man, of Jesus, will be like the days of Noah. What was happening in Noah's day? Yeah, there was a flood. But how were people living in the day of Noah? Unrighteous? Sorry, Jay? Doing their own thing. Sinful. The worst kinds of sin were taking place. And it says that the the stench of sin got up God's nose. That's basically what it says in the Bible. That's my own version. But that's what it says. And it says that God decided that there's only one thing he could do, and that was to wipe mankind off the face of the earth, except for this man called Noah, who was the most righteous, about the only one, and his family, who were walking with God. Everyone else was in total rebellion to God. And Jesus said, God said, I'm going to send a flood. Get ready, Noah. And Noah, if you know the story, you just want to read about it in Genesis. What's it? Genesis chapter 6. You want to read about it because it's all true. It's not a fairy story. It really happened. For 100 years, this man had a vision, a faith vision. God gave to him and told him, these are the dimensions of the boat you're going to build. He didn't even know what boat was. This is how you're going to build it. And you're going to do it over these coming years. He did for 100 years because he lived till about, 600 years or so. And when it's finished, I'm going to send a flood. Well, he didn't know what flood was either, probably, because they hadn't had rain. They didn't have rain in that sense, the way that when the flood came, they had the rains come then. So it says that in the second coming of Jesus, it'll be like Noah's day, when people were basically doing their own thing and sin was rife. Before the flood, people were living their normal lives, eating, drinking, getting married or not. It was like this right up to the day when Noah entered the ark. They had no idea of what was about to happen. Then suddenly... Just say suddenly. You want to look at the suddenlies in the Bible, there's a reason that it is written in there. Suddenly the flood came and they were all destroyed. Remember Jesus talking about him coming back. So he's reminding us he's going to come back suddenly. And it will be like, this is what it will be like when the Son of Man comes again. Two men will be working in a field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding the grain. One will be taken and the other left. So be on the alert, because you do not know when your Lord will come for you. I want you just to turn somebody at this point. Just say to them, be alert. Just dig them in the ribs if they look a bit tired this morning. Just tell them, be alert. This is very, very important for us, that there's a lot of Christians who are half asleep. I mean, spiritually speaking, they are asleep or half asleep. And I tell you, if you're half asleep, if you're in the army and you're half asleep, guess what's going to happen to you? You'll be dead. And God says, I want my people to be wide awake. I want you to be really alert. I want you to be alive to me. I want you to be listening to my voice and obeying what I tell you to do every day. I want you to be alive and alert. So be on the alert, because you don't know when the Lord will come for you. However, you can understand this analogy. If the owner of the house had known when the thief intended to come and rob him, he would have been ready and waiting for him and would not have allowed the break-in to take place. You can understand that, can't you? If you knew someone was going to break into your house at 1 o'clock in the morning, you saw the plans, what would you do? What would you do, Kieran? Now, perhaps we better not ask you. But you'd be ready, wouldn't you? You'd be ready. And you would take action. In the same way, you must be ready and waiting, because the Son of Man will come at a time when you least expect him. Be ready. That's the whole point. This is the reason Jesus has given this story. He wants us to be ready. Who then will be considered to be a faithful and wise servant, whom the master can trust to be in charge of the other servants in his household, to ensure they are provided for in the right way and are ready? That servant will be well rewarded if his master finds him fulfilling his duties diligently when he returns. I tell you most emphatically, his master will put him in charge of all he possesses. Listen, this morning, if you belong to Jesus, God has given you a calling upon your life, and he's given you gifts to fulfill that calling. Does that make sense? There's a calling upon your life, and God has given you gifts to fulfill your calling. And Jesus is saying here that there'll be a reward waiting for you. When he comes back, he will reward you according to what you did for him. Rewards. He won't pay you wages, he'll pay you a reward, because you did it willingly. We're serving God out of love, right? But God says, I will reward all those who diligently seek me and serve me. And so there'll be a reward for us. But what if that servant is evil and says to himself, my master's been away a long time, and he begins to mistreat his fellow servants and indulges in drugs and drink? His master will come when that servant is totally unprepared and has no expectation of his arrival, and the master will deal savagely with him and condemn him to be eternally with the other hypocrites in the place where there will be continual mourning and eternal suffering. Now, I don't apologize, because this is the Bible, this is the scripture. And it's a warning, okay? It's both an encouragement for us to follow Jesus with all of our hearts, but it also carries a warning, like the box of cigarettes do, about what it will do to your health if you smoke them. This carries a warning. If you obey God, if you follow him with all of your heart, if you are in faith with him and do what he says, you will be very blessed. Jesus will take care of your whole life. No matter what happens out there, you'll be in his safe hands. This makes sense. Amen. And we need to be very watchful, diligent and awake believers. And Jesus wants to come back to a faithful and wise man or woman of God that you are, so that, and find you doing the things that he called you to do. Full of fruit that we can say, here, Lord, that's what you gave me, here, it's yours. Fruit of people's lives being touched, changed, encouraged, blessed and loved and so on. God wants us to be faithful men and women. God has entrusted us this morning with an enormous amount in this church. I just had the vision that while we were worshipping this morning, that you know, he's standing in this place today. He is so full, not just full of love, but full of benevolent gifts that are flowing out of him to us to do his will. So we haven't even got to try and do his will in our own strength. We don't want to do that. We want to do it in his strength, his ability. Amen. And Jesus was talking to these disciples. So can we just stand for a minute? I just want us to respond briefly over this about being ready this morning. Where are you today with Jesus? Where are you in your relationship to him? Because he wants you to draw near to him, and he's here today. He wants you to draw near to him. He wants you to have a right heart with him. He wants you to call upon his blood to wash you and cleanse you. If there are things in the way that's bothering you or concerning you or taking you off track, get your relationship back with him today. He's standing there. He's right here this morning. He's urging some people here today either to come to him for the first time if you haven't given your life to him, or if you've just drifted away, come back to him today. Don't waste time. Just be alert. Just say to the Lord, I'm your willing, faithful servant. I want to do your will. I want to serve you. I want to serve you in your kingdom. That's what I want to live. I want to live for the cause of your kingdom for the rest of my days and be a blessing wherever I go. Hallelujah. Just lift our hands to the Lord. Father, we just want to respond to you this morning, Lord, in these couple of minutes. We want to respond to you, Jesus. We want to give our lives afresh to you today, Lord. We want to be given in our hearts to you, Lord. Father, we pray today, Lord, help us to be ready for your return, Lord. Help us to be ready for your soon return, Jesus. Father, we pray that we'll understand the callings of God, the things you've called us to do. Thank you give us gifts, Lord, to enable us to fulfill that calling. Thank you that you give us the Holy Spirit, Lord. Father, we call upon the precious blood of Jesus to come and wash away any sin, any unbelief, Lord, any doubts, Lord, any fears that we've got, Lord. We want to bring those to you this morning and cast them down at your feet, Lord, so that we'll be ready to meet with you, Lord. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you today, Lord. We thank you, Father, that you are for us. You're not against us. You're like a mother hen calling her chicks under her wings, Lord. You're like the mother eagle, Lord, that gathers her eaglets under her wings. Lord, thank you that you gather us under you today, Lord. Thank you. You want to empower us with the Holy Spirit. Thank you. You want to give us, you want to bring us into such a release, Lord, where your life and your power is flowing through our lives, Lord, because there's an incredible relationship that we have with you. We give you praise this morning, Lord. I hear the Spirit saying this morning, it's a fresh start. God wants to give you a fresh start. He wants to give some of you a fresh start today. Let's lift our hands to him. Lord, a fresh start, Lord, a new start with Jesus, a new start in relationship. Whatever you've known of the Lord wants you to know him in a new way. Whatever you've known of him, even up today, he wants all of us to know him in greater ways than ever. He wants us to draw near to him and become like him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's just make this a confessional prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, today I want to follow you. I want to be in right relationship with you. Jesus, you are Lord. I want you to be in control of my life. Holy Spirit, come afresh today. Fill me with your power, with your zeal to follow you, Lord. Thank you for your gifts that you give to me to fulfill that calling in my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Please just take your seats. In the second half this morning, and I want us to look at Ephesians chapter 4. The first part there, rooted in Matthew 24, is about our relationship. If you're right with him, you'll be ready for him. So if you're right with God, you'll be ready for him. And God wants us to be alert. He wants us to be ready. He wants us to be those wise servants that are doing the things he's called us to do. And just those things. And it's not just our relationship to him that's important, but actually our relationship with one another is very, very important. Jesus had 12 disciples. And out of those 12 disciples, he had 3 that were very, very, very close to him. They weren't his favorites. It's just the way that things work out. You know, in relationships, you're closer to some people than you are to others. Some people God has actually called you to be working with in a particular way, and God forges it out of that friendship and relationship. Jesus had, out of those 3, Jesus had 1 that was very, very close to him, and that was John. So you have the 12, and you have the 3, and you have the 1. All in relationship, good relationship with Jesus. And Jesus invested 3 years of his life into these 12 men's lives. So he literally poured his life out, poured out what he had from heaven, from the Father, into these 12 men. He did it to a lot of other people as well. There were other disciples. The Bible says that there were 70 others, so there's at least another group of 70. But those 70 would have been related to these 12. But it's all to do with relationship. And in the church, Jesus wants us to have a great relationship with him. And you know, your relationship with Jesus will affect your relationship with the people around you. However spiritual we may think we are, if we can't get along with other people, then there's an issue actually between me and God. If I struggle with a certain type of person, then I struggle in some area of my relationship with God. This is making sense. Now, God purposely allows us all in this church to be very, very different. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed there's no one just like you here? Thank God. You're the only one. And God has made you unique. He's made us all unique people. And God has made it that way so that he wants to teach us how to love not just the people that are lovable to us, that we get along with just great and hang out with, but he wants to teach us how to love people that we would not normally be in association with. Perhaps if it was our choice, we wouldn't have any time with them. But God is saying, I want you to learn how to love the people around you, because if you can't do this bit here, you'll never do it out there. And God has called us to be a people of love. This love isn't hard work. I just want you to know that this morning, that this love is very easy. It's all about believing and receiving the love that Jesus has for you and walking in it. And I've discovered that the more I receive out of his love for me, and by the way, that doesn't mean you have to do anything. You're just receiving is receiving. So sometimes I'll disappear down my garden. I don't know what my neighbours think. Disappear into my cabin. And sometimes wait till it's really dark. And then come when I've finished, when I've got things sorted out with God, I'll come out of my cabin and walk back up to the house. Our neighbour has chickens. So these chickens, I'm being observed by 6 chickens. They're watching me come down in the mornings and when I have the special times of prayer. And you know, having these times, sometimes I'll just receive. It's very important that we spend time in his presence. That means do nothing. But just open your heart. Don't be empty in your mind, but open your heart up to God. Focus upon Jesus and listen to what he has to say to you. I usually do that by reading some scriptures, reading through Close Me Bible, and then I'll just perhaps kneel down or face down on the floor or stand up or just do something that then puts me in a position where I'm beginning to receive from the Lord. But when you do that with God, he'll start speaking to you. Oh, he began to speak to me last night. He began to spend some time and listen to what he was saying, show me some things, what he's doing around the nation. Now, I don't know loads of people around the nation, but God was showing me things he's doing around the nation and how that he's God is at work. And we may think, well, I'm in this church and we're part of this connection and we're Kingdom Faith here, and there's another group over here and there's another group over here. They all belong to the same Lord. They're all the same church, actually, with the same head. And God is doing a work amongst all of us. And I like what Keith said this morning, because that's exactly what God said to me. He said, I'm joining the dots up. Isn't that amazing that you should say that this morning? I was amazed. God said to me last night, he said, I'm joining the dots up around this nation of church leaders, of streams, of different churches, of people as well, different ministries in churches. God is doing a divine connection that no man can organize. And when, as the Holy Spirit is blowing his wind, when he begins to blow, he needs to have a people that are ready. And so he's joining the dots up around the nation, in his church, in God's people around this nation. He's joining some dots up. Well, I took great courage in that. God's in charge. He knows what he's doing. So we need to focus on what he's asking us to do, fulfill our part, and he'll do the rest. So we need to be receiving out of his love. It's relationship. Are you getting this? Spending time listening to God, sometimes just receiving what he wants. Instead of thinking this is a great thing I've got to do, I've got to do all of this work in praying and reading my Bible and spending hours. No, no, you just start where you are, open your Bible and read it, and then just begin to pray and listen to what the Spirit says to you. The Holy Spirit wants you to receive out of his love. You know, another thing he showed me last night about us as a church, he showed me a crown, and then he showed me like he was a master jeweler. And there was this crown that was not complete. The crown itself, made out of gold, was complete, but there were all of these jewels, and he said, that's you. That's each one of you. And these jewels were being administered to by the jeweler. And what he was doing, for some of the stones, he was cutting these stones with accuracy. He was shaping these stones. They were beautiful diamonds, beautiful, perfect, precious diamonds, and he was cutting them and shaping them. And when they were done, he was placing them into the crown. That's you. So God wants to see us as a church. He sees us as a church like a crown that he's putting these jewels, that's each one of us, that form the crown that will display his glory. Does this make sense? I noticed that some of the jewels were needing more work on than others. I noticed that some would need a good old polish. Some that were being cut. Some had already been dealt with and were already placed in the crown. Others were being dealt with. That's us as a church. That's what God's doing for us. God is working every single one of us, his perfect will, his perfect plan, to make us reflect the glory of God, which is what diamonds do. They reflect the glory. They reflect, don't they? They're cut in a certain way that maximum amount of light flows through, and they bring out incredible colours. Each jewel, each diamond is different. Well, that's you. That's me. And as we build up our relationship with Jesus through God's word and through trusting the Holy Spirit, who's living in us, by the way, walking with him because he's walking in you. Don't forget that the Holy Spirit's come to live in you. So Jesus is literally, by his Spirit, is living in you today. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is living in you. Sometimes we forget that. We think, well, Jesus is in heaven, which he is. We think we're down on here. We've got to kind of send all these prayers up to heaven. But actually, those prayers go to heaven, but he's actually living in you. And we need to be reminded again and again that Christ in us is the hope of glory. He is living in you. He's living in you. So receive out of the well that's on the inside of you. For some of you here this morning, you've lost the art, or you've lost the ability to draw out of the well that's on the inside of you. Your well's become blocked. And God wants to, this week, wants to unblock some wells here in the church. He wants to unblock some wells because it's as if the enemy has actually filled the well in and blocked up your spirit. And so what you're left with is you're just left with you. And it's not a good place to be, because you feel like you're out of touch with God. It's like the waters aren't flowing through you and in you. And life is hard. But God's saying, I want to unblock those wells, relationship. I want to unblock your well this morning. I want you to draw from the rivers of life that's on the inside. I want you to draw close to me in relationship. And as you draw near to the Lord, the wells of life that are on the inside will begin to fill you up and overflow you. And the Bible says that God wants us to be full of the Holy Spirit, doesn't it? He wants us to be full of and controlled by the Holy Spirit. So that river of life, of joy, of peace, of faith, of power, that life that Jesus gives is inside of us. And depending whether we're really following Jesus, depending whether we're developing that relationship, will depend how much your life is being watered. Does that make sense?
Amen.
God wants us to be a well-watered church. And your relationship with God, I don't know, the Holy Spirit is really saying this morning, your relationship matters to me. When you get up in the morning, God was already waiting for you to meet with him. Now, I know some of you have to get up really early to go to work. I don't know how you sort out your time with God. That's between you and God. But what I do know is God is always up before you.
Amen.
He is always up before you. Because he's never asleep. And he wants to meet with you every day. However your shift pattern goes, he wants to meet with you. Before your shift, during your shift, after your shift. He wants you to make time for him. That's the most important. Make time for him. Whenever that time is, make time for him. And let him change your life and make you become the person he wants you to be. That jewel in the crown. Amen.
Amen.
Relationship. Our relationships to one another matter. This is why Jesus spent so much time with these 12 men, because he wanted them to get the picture that it wasn't just one of them that was to do his will, it was the team. And God has called us as a church to be a team, a people, a body. Let's just read about it in Ephesians 4. And we're just going to read the first few verses here. It says in verse 1, I am a prisoner for the Lord's sake. What a great faith statement. Paul was in prison. He was in prison because he was preaching the gospel. And he says, I'm not a prisoner of the Romans. He says, I'm a prisoner for the Lord's sake. What a positive way to view life. I'm a prisoner for the Lord's sake, and I encourage you to live in a way that is worthy of this great calling you've received from him. This involves remaining humble and gentle. Wow. Being patient. Is this describing anyone here this morning? And sensitive to the needs of others. Wow. Relationship. Sensitive to the needs of others out of your love for them. Should we just read that again?
Yeah.
I'm a prisoner for the Lord's sake, and I encourage you to live in a way that's worthy of this great calling you've received from him. This involves remaining humble. How do you walk in humility? Any guesses? Put others before yourself? Sorry? Walk closely with God? These are correct answers, by the way. There's not just one answer, but do what God's called you to do. Pray. The Holy Spirit in you will make you humble. I've got a suggestion to make this morning. That the way that you walk in humility is you humble yourself. Before God, not before people. You humble yourself before God. Sometimes you have to do that with people as well. But humble yourself before God every day. Know that you're nothing without him. Know that you're totally dependent upon his Spirit. I can't do anything without him. But I need to remind myself that every day, because it's very easy for me to try and do God's will in my own strength. God's talking to some people here this morning. You may have a great calling of God, and then you can end up trying to fulfill the vision in your own strength. It's a big mistake lots of Christians are making. God wants us to not just have vision, not just know what God's called us to do, but he wants us to learn how to flow in the Holy Spirit in total dependency upon the Spirit. And that means we don't depend upon our own thinking, our own reasoning, our own attitudes. We depend upon the Holy Spirit. That's the key. So we humble ourselves before God. Remain humble and gentle, being patient and sensitive to the needs of others out of your love for them. Do everything you can to what? What does it say there? To keep the unity of the Spirit. Do everything you can do to maintain the unity you have with other believers in the power of the Spirit. You know, as an electrician, one of the tests that we have to do sometimes is we have to go into buildings that have emergency lighting, and the idea is that these emergency lights must be maintained. So what we do is we cut the power off of them and see how they get on. And you're supposed to do it for 3 hours, and if they've gone out within the 3 hours, then they're no good. Have to either renew them or change the batteries, renew the batteries. And it says here that we're to maintain the unity. Do everything you can do to maintain the unity you have with other believers in the power of the Spirit. So we've got to actively maintain the unity, make sure there's power on the inside there, like we do with the emergency lights, there's power source is working in there. Make sure that we're maintaining unity of the faith with one another in the power of the Spirit by remaining at peace with them. We're talking about relationships again this morning. We've got to remain at peace with one another. If you're married, we maintain unity together in our marriages. We maintain the peace of God in our homes. We maintain unity amongst ourselves in our relationships together. For there is one body of Christ and only one Holy Spirit, and we all share in one hope to which we were called in Christ. There is only one Lord, and we all share in the same faith in him. There is only one baptism into Christ, only one God and Father of us all. He is over us all, he works through all of us, and his life is in all of us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
His life is in all of us, those that have turned and believed upon him. Yet at the same time, each one of us is given the particular grace we need to fulfill our calling. So let me give you an example. There's a grace that God has given to Jackie, if I can just pick on Jackie a minute. There's a grace that God has given to Jackie to fulfill her calling. That grace will be upon her in the workplace. That grace will be upon her perhaps running a WHO group. That grace will be upon her out there. That grace will be upon her in the church. That grace is God's power and favor given to her with gifts that will enable her to fulfill what God's called her to do.
Amen.
I can't fulfill what God's called Jackie to do. She can do it. Because there's a grace power, there's a favor that God gives to her with spiritual gifts and abilities that will enable her to do it. This is the unique thing about God. God gives each one of us in this room gifts, gracious gifts, that if we use them in the right... Another one would be Nigel. God has graced Nigel to lead worship. Sometimes he doesn't even realize what a gracious gift that God's given to you. That is a blessing to us as a body that helps us and enables us then to focus more upon Jesus in worship. This is making sense. That's a grace. I can't do what Nigel does. Because God hasn't given me the same grace, he's given me a different grace. And so all of us are given a different grace, a different supply. But out of that supply and those gifts, God gives us, it may be healings as well. There's a grace. Some people are used sometimes in incredible ways for healing backs or for healing head problems. Now, the gifts for healings is for every believer, but there's some people are used in particular ways. They've been given grace gifts to heal in particular ways and to work miracles. This is the grace of God. God's grace works in many, many different ways. And it's Christ himself who imparts this grace to each one of us. Relationship. Comes to us out of relationship. This is why we can understand from what was written years ago that when he ascended back into heaven, he led a procession of those who had formerly been captives and gave gifts to those who were to continue the work of his kingdom here on earth. How many of you here want to continue to work for his kingdom here on earth? Put your hands up if that's you. If you want to work for God's kingdom here on earth. Hopefully that was all the hands. Because that's what God's called you to do. It's what's called us to work for his kingdom, that his kingdom in heaven will come down on the earth. We need to understand that before he ascended to heaven, Christ first descended to where the souls were kept waiting for the release he alone should give. Yes, he who descended there to free them is the same Lord who ascended to the highest place in heaven so that the whole universe could be filled with his glory. Kingdom relationships. If you meditate even upon those few verses then and think about those verses in Ephesians 4, those first numbers of verses there, they're talking about being at peace with one another. They're talking about maintaining unity of the Spirit. They're talking about love, being gracious, being sensitive to the needs of others. That starts with us as a church. And God's saying, your relationship to me will reflect in your relationship with people. We could put it another way. We could say, your relationship with me or my relationship, say, with Nigel, will reflect my relationship with the Father in heaven. And God has made things very, very practical. So I hear some people say, I love Jesus, but I have a real problem with the church. Like the two things are actually the same. The church is made, of course, the church is made up of imperfect people, but God knows about that. It's made up of people like you and me who don't get it right all the time. But God says, if you love me and you're walking in a relationship with me, I'm going to enable you to love the people around you and be sensitive to the needs of those around you and be an answer to their needs. You can help meet other people's needs if you walk in relationship. You know, if you have issues with people in the church, if you've fallen out with someone, or perhaps you have a difficulty, what God asks you to do is, first of all, forgive them if there's something that happens that went wrong, and just carry on loving them. You know, sometimes we don't have to tell people what they did to hurt us or upset us. Sometimes we just need to forgive them and just walk on. It's only when there's a serious issue that's ongoing that we need to go and talk to people about those things. But we need to forgive people, and we need to go on in love towards them. Does this make sense? Amen. God's called us to be in relationship with him, in such a walk with him, that our love will overflow into the lives of the people around us. And this is how God wants to build up the church. And I left a challenge last week. I don't know if you're able to fulfill it. Last week I left a challenge. Go and love someone that you don't normally love in the church. Oh, go and love someone in a particular way. Let the Spirit lead you, but love someone in the church in a particular way this week. It may be by sending them a text. It may be writing them an encouraging letter. It may be by going round to see them. That would be better. And just encourage them with who they are in Christ. It may be that you're going to do a practical job to help them. It may be you need to say to them, is there any way I could serve you? Is there any need you need help for? But aim to do that this week if you haven't already done it. And then look for a way in which you can love and serve someone who doesn't know Jesus yet. Look for a practical way in which you can love and serve someone who doesn't know Jesus yet, and make that part of what you do this week. And make it your goal this week. I'm going to encourage others in this church to follow hard after him in their relationship. I'm going to encourage people this week more than ever before. I'm going to encourage people in their relationship to God. Because what you'll do is you'll actually encourage your relationships with people as well in the church here. The Bible says that God joins people together. So that's why, if you look at the person next to you, just look at the person next to you just briefly. You notice they've got two eyes in their head. They've got two ears at the side. They've got one nose in somewhere around about the middle, even if it's slightly twisted, okay? But God is a God of order. And he joins the body. It says that we are his body, we're his people. It says that he is the head. He uses this picture. He says, I'm the head. That's where everything flows from. And you are my body. That's all of us. And it's important that we know who we're connected to. And my prayer is in these coming weeks and months ahead that God's going to really help us to be not just a bunch of members, but God will fit us carefully together, that we'll know who we're connected with, who we're connected to, who's connected with me, and so on, so that God will fit us correctly together in the church, and we'll become a body full of his love. And we'll be able then as a church to fulfill what God has called us to do as a people. Does this make sense? Amen. It's not just about your ministry or what God's called you to do, it's about what God's called us to do. That is, for me, is the most important question that we need to answer. And he'll do it with us as a people together. Amen. Let's all stand.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.